you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house and worship you. Lord, I pray as we speak the words of God and look at the Bible, Lord, you speak to people's hearts. Help us understand, Lord, how you blessed Abram's life, and Lord, how you are willing to bless our lives. Lord, how that invitation he gave of a life, Lord, that following your will is the best thing we can do with our lives. It's the greatest life we can live. Lord, help us to grab a hold of that. Help us to answer that call, and help us to also be willing to live a walk of faith, a life of a walk of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and read Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read verses all the way down to verse number 9. It says in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, "And now the Lord hath said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Wow, what a wonderful invitation. He says, if you follow after me, he says that I will bless the world through you and through your family. Verse number 4, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." Okay, as we see this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus, or God himself, had come to Abram and said, look, if you're willing to leave your kindred, you're willing to leave your place, and follow after me, I will do great things with your life. And I got to be honest with you, not all of us are going to have the opportunity to bless all nations. Not all of us are going to have the opportunities to be men and women of great wealth. I'm not preaching a prosperity type gospel. What I am saying is that God offers us the same invitation. He encourages us to look to him and calls us to salvation. And after salvation, he wants to give us a life of faith. And that life of faith is the greatest life that you can live. There is a life that God has intended for you, something he's designed for you to do, a destiny per se that he would like for you to grasp and grab a hold of, and that is only found in him and found in his will. And the nation of Israel was created from Abraham. It was brought forth from Abraham. And from that nation, Jesus Christ came and has blessed the whole world with the thought that there was a Messiah that came to die for the sins of mankind. First thing I want you to see was the call of Abraham, the call of Abraham. And you say, well, where was Abraham called from? Let's look here in chapter number 11. Go back a few verses. I want you to see in verse number 26. Genesis chapter 11, verse 26. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity of the Ur of the Chaldees. Now, so what God told him in verse number 1, he said, chapter 12, he says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. And the Ur of Chaldees is where he had grown up. So what do we know about the Ur of Chaldees? Well, it was located in what we would call the modern-day Iraq, in the southwest corner of Iraq specifically, about 75 miles north of the Kuwaiti border, right in the middle where the area of the Gulf War was back in 1991. It was at Abraham's time that this was located, the place where the Euphrates rivers emptied into the Persian Gulf. At that time, it was a bustling seaport where trade was conducted with India and Africa. History also tells us the city was a center of intellectual activity. It was a very prosperous city of the day. It even had a large public library, even had different houses that were much modern than most of the world. Some even speculate that they even had bathtubs inside their own houses way back early in the early parts of the world. The region that was uncovered that they had a library of over 2,000 different ancient texts that was written in clay. And it was a great place for raising flocks and herds. And we see that was what Abram was famous for most of his life. While the day that this great city was in and a great and prosperous place to live, it was a very perverted place also. The people of the area were involved in some of the most wretched forms of idolatry that was known to mankind. The city was an important center for astrology and for the worship of the stars and the moons. The fact is that their wickedness was born out of the testimonies. And when you say, Pastor, how do you know all this? Well, Abraham actually grew up in a house of where people worshiped idols. Joshua 24:2 says, and Joshua said unto the people, now once again he's talking to this nation that came from Abram, thus saith the Lord God of your Israel, your fathers which dwelt on the other side of flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, they served, it says they served other gods. So God was calling Abraham, and where did he call him out of? He called him from the Ur of Chaldees, but more specifically, he called him from a place of idolatry. He called him from a household that worshipped other idols. It was not as if he was worshiping the one true God. God was calling him out of this place. We also see, he say, well, that's great. Then his whole family got right. That means that everybody began to worship God. No, that's not the case at all. God had him separate out of that place because that place was full of idolatry. For you remember the story about Leah and Rachel, and we remember how they were relatives of, they were the great, it was the daughters of the great nephew, Abraham's late great nephew, Laban. But what was, we remember in that story, is what did Rebekah do? She took the gods of Laban. It says, and now though thou wouldest needs be gone because thou soared long against thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? So we know that even this family was rich in their idolatry. They believed in false gods. They even had little stone statues that they would sit and worship. Many years later, Isaiah reminds Israel what God saved them from. In Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2, says, hearken to me that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and the hole of the pit which ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father and Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. You know, Abraham was caught out of one of the most wretched conditions, spiritually speaking. Now, he probably had great financial success. He had great prosperity. But out of the place where he grew up at was a very, very wicked place. God himself said to the nation of Israel, remember where we called you out of. Remember we took you out of that pit, that wretched place. And he's talking about the Ur of Chaldees. He says, I called Abraham out by himself, and I blessed Abraham alone. And we got to remember this. You say, what does this have to do with me? Well, this is the whole point. Is that if God is giving us an invitation and he is saying to us, hey, look, I see where you're at now. I see the life that you're in. And because of this life that you're in, I am calling you from that life now to start a new life and begin as a new creature, a new creation in Christ, and begin a life that is called a faith, a walk of faith. And that's what God's that's what God is calling Abraham out of. That's what God calls us out of too. So what do you mean? Well, all mankind. According to what the Bible says, that death was passed upon all men because all men were sinners. Because of sin, death has been passed, and that sin nature has been passed upon all mankind. We are all lost, we are all dead in our sins, and we are on our way to hell. According to what the Bible says, it's like when we were born, we were headed on a pathway. That pathway is straight into a horrible place called hell. All mankind heads that way. All mankind goes that way. It's not because of anything they've done. It's because they were born sinners. What God does is that Jesus Christ came to this world. He died for the sins of mankind. He gives mankind an opportunity, a way to get off that pathway to hell and to be placed on the pathway to heaven. And the only way you can be placed on that pathway to heaven, the only thing strong enough to take you off that pathway of hell and put you on the pathway to heaven is Jesus Christ and what he did. And here's the point, is that God saw us on that way. And the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were all headed down that pathway, all going the wrong way, all going away from God, eternally separated from God forever, it says, Christ died for us. He shed his blood for us. Why did he do that? And so what he's doing is he's calling us away from that pathway over to that new pathway, which is a life of faith. It's a life of putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal? How are you making the comparison here? Abraham was living in a wicked place. Abraham was in the Ur of Chaldees, worshiping false gods. And God calls him from that place and says, look, you follow after me, and I will place you on a new way, a new pathway, a life and a pathway of faith. If you will follow me, I will bless you. And that's the same thing that happens to us as believers. We are lost. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 2. It says, ye, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have all our conversations in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, whereby the nature of children, nature, the children of wrath, even as others. We were in a life of wickedness, a life where we were following after our flesh and what we thought was right, and everything we were doing was right. Everything was good according to our own desires. And what Jesus Christ did for us, we have another choice. We were called out of that life, but what are we called to? Abraham was called out of a life of idolatry, but what was Abraham called to? Well, look what it says in verse number 2. He was called to a blessed life. It says, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He says, I'm going to take you out of that life of idolatry, and I'm going to put you on a life of faith, and during that life of faith, that is a life that I can and will bless. And the same thing in our Christian lives. Some people say, you know what? I can't become a Christian. I can't follow after God. I can't be walking down that walk of faith and that life of faith because God's going to take away all my fun. God's going to take away my life. He's going to destroy everything that I count as precious. But the Bible teaches us something different. That life of faith is not one that's going to destroy our fun or take away our relationships. But the Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's saying, look, the devil's way is the way that's going to destroy your life. It's going to kill your life. It's going to steal your life away. But he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He says, I'm coming to where you can have a life that is not just normal life, but an abundant life. And that's the life that's found in Jesus Christ. That's his life that is found in that walkway, in that pathway of faith. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, that saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Here to this morning, you know, God is calling us. He's calling each of us. I know most of you would say, hey, look, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm no longer on that pathway to hell. God is encouraging you and calling you and asking you to follow after him in a life of faith. And he says, look, that is not a life of evil. That's not a life of wickedness. He says, there are thoughts of peace I have toward you, thoughts of an expected end. The Bible talks about how we were taken from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God in the book of Acts. And Timothy 1:9, he says, he's saved us and he's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. A life of faith that God is calling us to is one to follow after him, but the one that has been designed by God himself. I mean, this is the amazing thought, is God has something special planned for your life. He wants you to become a Christian. As you become a Christian, he wants you to live a life of faith. He wants you to follow after him. Does it mean everything's going to be easy? Does it mean everything's going to go well, that there will be no trials, no tests? No, it's completely the opposite. God says, I'll be with you every step of the way. But in this world, you're going to face persecution. In this world, you're going to face tribulations. But he says, I'm calling you. And the call I have for your life is for you to have a life of faith. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I want you to understand this morning, first of all, the call. Abram over here will say, this is the Ur of Chaldees. This is a place of wickedness. This is a place where they worship the stars. I think it was a place where they were the place where they worshiped the moons and they bowed down to idols and they did not know the one true God. God calls Abraham out of this place and says, look, I want to take you to a place where I can bless you, because Abraham, over here, I can't bless you. You're worshiping false gods. You're with your family that's worshiping false gods also. I need to take you and separate you from that. And the second thing I want you to see, not only is it the call, but the commitment. The commitment Abraham had. Abraham's pilgrimage had to begin with a life of faith, had to begin with faith. God had huge plans. I don't care who you are today. I don't care how old or how young. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You say, well, there's nothing special about me. Maybe I'm not that smart, or maybe I'm not that attractive, or maybe I don't have much money or much social status. It doesn't matter. God has created you and designed you for a plan and a purpose, and God's got a will for you. And that will is greater than anything you can come up with yourself. But there must be a commitment that's made. Abram had to begin with faith. As God had huge plans for Abram, it could not begin until Abram was willing to follow and make the commitment. And as God has great plans for our life, it cannot begin until you're willing to commit to doing God's will. The old saying says the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. This morning, I don't know if you're on that pathway where God wants you to. This morning, I don't even know if you're a Christian. That first step is becoming and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That next step, and that's where many people are at, and that step right now is taking that next step of faith. Say, Pastor, I could never be a preacher. I could never be a missionary. I could never be a teacher. I could never do anything that would be great for God. No, being exactly what God desires you to be is great because it is God's plan for you. Whether it be being teacher, preacher, missionary, bus worker, whether it be just being the housewife that God's called you to be, or being the father God's called you to be, whether it be in a police force or in a military, or whether it be being a garbage man, whatever it is, if it's God's plan, it's the greatest plan you could ever have and the greatest plan you could ever do. It is a walk of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10 begins to describe this commitment that Abraham had. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, here's the great thing. If you look here at the end of verse number 1, it says that I will show thee. God didn't tell Abraham, look, I'm going to take you to the land of Canaan. I'm going to get rid of all those people that are in there, all those Canaanites, and I'm going to let you have all that land for yourself. No, he says, look, this is where a step of faith is. It means following what you know is right, step by step. And he says God didn't show him where he was going. Abraham had no idea whether he went. He just followed God. He says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles of Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And here's the thing. He says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, all Abraham was interested as he left the Ur of the Chaldees and he began this journey, he began this thing, he was looking for what God desired for him. He was looking for the place that had the city and the foundations which were God. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, Abraham had to leave everything behind. What did Abraham have to leave behind? We're not told how God called Abraham. We don't know if God spoke to him in an audible voice. We don't know if God spoke to him in a dream. We don't know if Jesus Christ came in a form of an angel or form of a man. But we know that God spoke to this man in his darkness and called him to a light of a new path. Abraham was called to leave everything behind, everything he loved, everything he knew, everything who has shaped him in his life to that point. He was ordered to leave his religion. Look what it says in verse number 1. It says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And it says he was ordered to leave his region, his religion, his relatives. Everything was left behind. And when God calls us, you know what? There are things that we're going to have to leave behind. And when the call of God comes to a life, it is a call to sever the things of wickedness from behind us. Matthew 16:24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The call of faith means that there are some things that we will have to leave behind. But also, not only is some things that we have to leave behind, but there are some things we must embrace. There are some things that we must embrace. His call for the believer is to leave the old life behind and begin the new life of Christ, a new life of faith, where every moment of our life we depend and trust on God. I don't know about you this morning, but God has called us away from the wickedness, and it's to begin a new life. That one is faith. It is the nature of the divine call. God calls us to follow without being concerned about our destination. God calls us to follow without knowing what's going to happen around the next bend. He calls us to leave all the details to him. He wants you to surrender your life to his call, regardless of what it costs. And the key is found in this. Abraham left all those things behind, but his first step was Canaan. But Abraham wasn't interested in what was going on in Canaan. Abraham was interested in that city whose builder and founder and the foundations were found in God. See, his eyes weren't on what Canaan could look like. He got to Canaan. When he got to Canaan, it says the Canaanite was there. And the Canaanites were, they were wicked people. They were idolaters. They were like barbarian type people. And when he saw all those people there, he didn't turn around and walk away because he knew that Canaan was not his end. He knew that Canaan was just a way to bring the promise. He was looking heavenly. And this morning, when we leave this wickedness behind, and when God calls to the life of faith is a journey and a pathway through this world, but we are nothing but pilgrims looking forward to the day where we get to heaven. And our eyes are not embracing and focusing what we can do and what we can have in this world, but instead our eyes are focused on things above, not on things on this earth. And Colossians chapter 3 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Now think about it. Not on things of the earth. Abraham got this journey in this life of faith. He realized that there's something he had to leave behind. He was called to leave behind the wickedness. He was called to leave behind the religion. He was called to leave his region. And he says, God, I'll follow you. I don't know where it's going to lead me. I don't know where the path is going. But God, I know what you know what's best. And this is a life of faith. And I'm just going to follow you. I'm just going to step by step by step take that next step. And the problem is many of us haven't taken that next step. Remember, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. You say, Pastor, I don't see how in the world I could ever do. You know what? He's not asking you to figure out the details. He's saying, I want you to figure out. He says, I want you to let me figure out the details. We're going to learn in chapters ahead that Abraham many times tried to figure out the details. Next week, there's going to be a famine in the land, and Abraham's going to go down to Egypt. He should never went there. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to figure out the details. You know, there was later on in the story, Abraham's going to be saying to God, God, I don't have a son. How can I have an heir? How can I have all these children? How can I be a blessing? He says, I don't even have a child. You know what he's going to try to do on his own? He's going to try to figure out how to have a son. And that's going to become a mess. Christian, taking the next step means you know what the next light is. It's not figuring out the end. It means just being faithful to follow him next. When God called me to preach, for many years I ran from that call thinking that there is no way I could do it. And I've expressed those thoughts to you before. You know what? All God wanted me to do was to take that next step. He reveals the next step after that and reveals the next step after that. Did I ever thought I would be pastoring a wonderful church like this? No. I never thought that God would allow me to do something like that. I didn't think I was capable. The truth is, I am incapable. It's only God that works through me that gives me the privilege of pastoring a church. That step, that call to a life of faith is one from wickedness, but it's a commitment on our part. It's us saying, okay, Lord, I'm depending on you. I don't know where you're taking me with this journey, but I'm willing to follow you. And that commitment, it's a commitment that where we have to leave certain things behind, but there is certain things we must embrace, and that embrace is one of heavenlies, not earthly things. The third thing, not only is it the call of Abraham, not only is it the commitment that Abraham made, but also the concerns of Abraham. The concerns with Abraham. I love the Bible because the Bible teaches us and shows us that no one is perfect except for Jesus Christ. We see here, even in the story of Abram, that he makes mistakes. And because he makes mistakes, we understand that Abram was human. But you know what? God is patient. There's a couple concerns I want you to see here. First, I want you to see his partial obedience. His partial obedience. What the Bible tells us in the story, and we don't have time to look it all up, is that he left the Ur of Chaldees, and he comes up, and God was calling him to Canaan. God wanted him to go a little bit farther, but you know what? He stopped in a certain land. Here, he followed partially. He didn't make it all the way to where he was supposed to. If you go in verse number 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. See, Abram was told to get out of the Ur of Chaldees and go where God had told him to, but he didn't follow that command till years later. You see, in this story, that Abram, not only did he get up, but he also took his father with him. But God told him to get away from his father's household. Listen to what it says in Acts 7:2-4. And he said, men, brother, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. So here's what the story is. Not everybody remembers and understands this. So you can look it up in Acts chapter number 7. Abraham leaves the Ur of Chaldees. He takes Lot with him, and he takes his father with him, and they go, and God is calling him to a life of faith. But what happens is Abraham stops before he finishes God. He obeys him partially. He obeys him a little bit. He leaves that land, but he stops in Haran, and he sits there, and he waits. And he waits, and he waits, and waits, and then his father dies. Then after his father dies, the Bible tells us he continues on his journey. Now, here's the problem that I'm trying to get to. Here's the concern is he was a person that had partial obedience. He over here in Haran, you know what's happening? We don't see the Lord speaking to him. We don't see the Lord talking to him. We don't see the Lord leading him and directing him. It's because Abraham needs to go and follow God completely. And you know what happens when he gets over into Canaan? You know what happens over here? God appears to him. See, over here, when it's partial obedience, it means that God is not able to bless him. God's not able to use him. He told him. He says, leave. He said, I want you to get out of the city. I want you to go to the place where I showed you. But he stops short of following God completely and God totally. Abraham did not leave Haran and fully follow the Lord's command until the death of his father, Terah. Now, this is a little interesting. You know, the name Terah actually means station or delay. One of the preachers I was studying and looking at some of the commentaries, it says it has the idea of a stopping place or a rest area or a roadblock. And evidently, what Terah had become in the life of Abraham was a roadblock. He was not willing or able to do the Lord's will until Terah was removed from the scene. And Abram was ready to move and do the things of God once Terah was gone. Now, here's the thing, and this is what I want you to get at. Is there things in our lives that are roadblocks that are stopping us from fully obeying God? Now, sometimes it could even be our family members. And we've talked a lot about that, about honoring and loving your parents. We don't have time to be able to develop all that. And we should not mistreat or abuse our parents, but we should stay away from anyone who's going to try to take us away from the path of faith that God's called us to. We should be willing to live for him and do what's right. And what is happening in the life of Abraham was Terah was stopping him from completely following God's will. And here in the Bible, Terah is a type of flesh, and it stops the progress of the things of God. What we need to do is reckon ourselves dead to those things that stop us. Is there a terror in your life this morning? Is there something that is stopping you from exactly fulfilling God's life? Is there some type of roadblock that is stopping you from that step of faith? What is that? The Bible says we need to reckon that dead. Things that we hold to as a station or a delay comes and holds us back from our walk. What is holding us back from our walk today? We need to be careful that we do not let things stand in our way. We need to be careful we do not let things stop us from doing the will of God. And if we're not careful, we're going to let things stop us. And until God can remove whatever that is, and sometimes it's many years later, we're never going to fulfill God's will, God's work. What did God tell Abraham to do? He told him to follow him. What haven't you done in your life? What is it that is stopping you? And then, you know what? Some of us, it could be a sport. Some of us, it could be a friend. Some of us, it could be a loved one. Some of us, it could be a job. Some of us, it could be money. Some of us, it could be a relationship. Some of us could be some bitterness. But there is something that is stopping us from our journey of faith. Just as Terah stopped Abraham in his journey. What station are you at in your life? Are you completely following God's faith and God's walk of faith and the life of faith that God's intended to? Or you stop somewhere? Stop somewhere and letting something block you from heading down that road. We all know what a roadblock is. We all know what it means to stop and have to wait or go around something. Here, many times, this is where Christians live at. This is a concern about Abraham's life, and this is a concern that I have for most of us, if not all of us, is that we are stopped in our Christian life, in our walk of faith, because there's something standing in our way. We will follow God. We'll be faithful on Sundays. We'll be faithful on Wednesdays. We'll give. We'll tell other people. But to follow God in that complete walk of faith, there's something stopping us. What is that roadblock this morning? That is one concern that we learn from Abraham. The second concern is the wasted years. The wasted years. Abraham's delay in this matter of obedience was costly to him. When he lingered in Haran's precious years passed by him, years that he could have been being used of God, getting what this best, God's best, had to offer. Instead, those years, he was spent watching by, waiting to do God's will. I don't know about you, but one of the most miserable times in my life is when I stop serving him and I just wait until I'm ready to do it again. I love my wife, I love my kids, but one of the most miserable times, it wasn't her fault, in my life was when God had called me to preach and I knew I wasn't doing what God wanted me to. I taught Sunday school classes. I taught junior church classes. I taught even in the Christian school, even tried to pacify God, went back to Bible college, did all those things. But I was miserable because I knew I was not doing what God called me to do. And I look back at those 10 years, and in those 10 years, the Lord blessed me, giving me a wonderful wife. The Lord blessed me, giving me a wonderful son, and later on, another son. He blessed me in many ways. But I wasted those years for the Lord because I did not do what he called me to do. And it wasn't until a few years before I came here where God said to me, he says, this is it. He says, either you surrender now or spend the rest of your life doing what I have not designed you to do. Because he's created me and designed me, I believe, to answer his call, to preach the gospel. He says, do it now or this is it. And I surrendered my life. But you know one of the things I regret in my life is those years I wasted. And in your life, I don't know about you, but if you're stopped at some type of roadblock, you know what we're doing? We're wasting the opportunity God's given us. The day and time we live in, the work of the Lord is too precious and the time is too short for us to hesitate in carrying out the orders that we have received from heaven. Why should we settle for second best when God is calling us to his best? Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 13. It says, and that, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is your salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And that's, remember, the error of the Chaldees, the wickedness that was behind, the life that we've been called off. Let us cast forth off the works of darkness. Render them dead in our lives. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in striving and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And what? He's given us a life. You know, to the young people in the room, God has given you, a young people, a chance and opportunity. A life now that you can reach young people, because most young people would look at adults and think that they're weird. But as young people, don't squander these years that you have. To the older people, there's different people you can reach that I can't reach. Don't squander these years. To those that are actively working and busy, don't let their busyness and the fact that our schedules are so full that we can't find time. That is a roadblock. That is a lie from the devil. Don't let us squander these years. Be able to serve and do what God wants us to do. You say, well, I can wait, I can put time off. What we're doing is we're staying Haran, believing the lie of the devil, saying that we can do it later. Now, isn't it wonderful? In this story, you see that God is patient. I'm thankful that God's patient. I'm thankful that God, for those years, kept on working in my heart and working in my life and kept on patiently waiting till I answered his call. And I'm thankful that he was willing to still extend that call to me. But let us not try God's patience. Let us instead say, you know what? I know God's got a plan for me. God's got a will. And I know that in this call that God's given me, I'm going to have to make a commitment. Yes, some of the concerns that have been bothering me in my life, there have been things and reasons why I have stopped serving. There have been roadblocks that have been put up. They might be health. They might be financially. They might be friendship. They might be families. I don't care what it is. If there's a roadblock that's stopping you from serving God, it means that you're wasting the time right now. Let us tear down the roadblocks and let us continue on serving. Believe me, it's not worth it. It is not worth the years that Abraham wasted. God could have used and blessed him. So many times we put roadblocks up and we waste our lives believing that there's going to be a better day around the corner to serve God. Remember, that journey of 1,000 miles starts one step. Let's take that step this morning. What is it that we are not willing to commit to? Because God has called us to a life of faith. He's called us out of that place of darkness, that place of wickedness, dead in our trespasses and sin, and he's provided us a life of salvation, and a life of faith. This morning, if you're here, you're not sure if you died today that you would go to heaven. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. An invitation is an invitation for people to come forward and deal with business for God. And many times the people come forward because they're believers and God's spoken to their heart and give a chance to get alone with God and begin to make that commitment to God. But if you are here this morning and you're not sure if you're saved, let me encourage you to come forward. We would love to have someone take a Bible to show you and teach you what the Bible says, how to become a Christian, and how to leave this place knowing that you're on your way to heaven. To those that are believers here today, what is the roadblock in your life? We all have a call of God. And the Bible says a holy calling. Not according to our purposes, a holy calling. We all have a call of God on our lives. Have we made the commitment to follow that call? That commitment is to leave certain things behind, but to embrace other things. And those things that we want to embrace, they're not things of this world, they're heavenly. Abraham died not receiving the promises. He never got to have the whole land for himself. But his vision wasn't for the land for his family. His vision was for the land for his family someday up in heaven. Heavenly. And that's what our eyes are focused on. A life of faith. He was nothing but a pilgrim. Just as we are nothing but pilgrims and strangers in this world. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.